Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. I'm your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I was able to take a good look at the stakes that I handicapped yesterday and for this weekend. Great. And I'm looking forward to this podcast.
And I know we're both super excited. This is our worldwide launch of this podcast. We've done 3 beta episodes so far for family and friends just to test it out, see how it would go. And we'll post the 3 other episodes so everybody can kind of take a listen to see what's available. But we've had some good winners, and I think a lot of great things to provide to you horse fans out there. And we really are hoping that you'll enjoy this this podcast, because this is the very first one that the whole world's going to be able to listen to.
Yeah, Dave, it is exciting, and we've had a great deal of success with our first 3 episodes, and focusing on stakes races mostly on Saturdays. And we've had some, last week we picked stakes races at Kentucky Downs, and of the 4 races that I handicapped, we had 3 winners in our top 2 picks. So those winners paid $368 and $9.40. So, and the trend continues over the course of these 3 podcasts. I've picked 17 stakes races over the course of these 3 beta episodes, and we've had 11 winners, either our top pick or our second pick. Our top paying number 1 pick paid $13, and our top number 2 pick paid $14.40 over the course of those 17 races. Had you invested a win bet on my top 2 picks in all 17 of these stakes races, you would have walked away with a 21% ROI. And had you just played our top picks, you would have walked away with a 13% ROI. So we're making money. We're picking horses that make sense in these stakes races. Yep. My intention is for this podcast to be informative. So, I walk through the racing form and kind of point out the things that attract me to certain horses and certain angles that I've been successful with in the past. But the main thing that we do in this podcast, Dave, is we try to pick winners for the people that listen. And that's the intention.
Now, last week you did, there was the 5-day meet at Kentucky Downs. You worked on it from this past Saturday. And you got to say, Kentucky Downs can be a bit of a challenge. I mean, it's all turf races, I think you did okay for the day. And now you really can't complain with that card.
No, such a no, short card. Definitely a challenging track, Dave. And full transparency, it's not one of the tracks that I spend much time on every year during this short meet. But certainly, it's attractive because the purses are large and the trainers, top trainers, top jockeys are all participating, and we did fine. We had 1 top selection winner that paid $8, which is a nice price. And had we had a little luck, we probably could have caught the pick 4. So, I'm a little bit more comfortable and at home with the races that I'm gonna talk about tonight, because I'm heading to Churchill Downs for their, there's 4 stakes races at the end of their card on Saturday. And, I'm very comfortable with the track at Churchill Downs and the trainers, the jockeys. There's some patterns there that have been successful for me in the past. And so that's where we're going to head for this particular podcast.
Excellent. Yeah. Churchill's always a great track. We're they're going to have a pretty good long meet come up. This is their fall meet, I guess, coming up here. I guess it starts
correct
late summer, early fall here. And just so everybody knows, we are going to post all of the stats so far from the 3 podcasts out in our show notes, so you could see how Steve has been really doing a pretty good clip here with his ROI and all the winners that he had, so you can kind of see what to expect. And as we continue on with this podcast in the future weeks as well. So with that, let's move on. And you've got, like you said, you've got a pick, late pick four here at Churchill Downs. All four of these races are stakes races. And let's kick it off and start with the eighth race.
Yeah, Dave, we have four stakes races. Three of them are graded stakes races. So we do try to focus and spend time on whatever the big stakes races are most often on Saturdays. There is a graded stakes at Belmont on Saturday. There's also a couple of graded stakes at Woodbine, but I decided to give the listeners an opportunity to chase the late pick four at Churchill Downs, all stakes races, three of them graded. And so that's what our plan of attack is here on this podcast. So the eighth race is the Locust Grove Grade Three. It's a mile and a 16th. It's for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. The purse is $100,000. And my selection in the eighth race is the 3-horse Mo D'Amour. A number of things to like about Mo D'Amour. The biggest thing for me, Dave, in selecting this horse is as I looked at the race and looked at the horses in the race, I don't see a whole lot of pace in here. And so this is certainly the kind of horse that if you look at the past performances can race on or near the lead. I also like the fact that this horse has got some back class. As you can see, on July 24th of last year, raced against Songbird, also raced in the Grade One Mother Goose. So this horse has been banging heads with some of the better fillies and mares, and it has produced a 90 buyer speed rating at Churchill Downs, though it wasn't a winning effort. At least I know that the horse, you know, in fact, that's the horse's top speed figure lifetime, is that 90 she ran at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Oaks last year. This horse is third race off a layoff, which, you know, the limited folks that have listened to the first three podcasts know that, you know, that's one of my my big betting angles. I love horses that are third off the layoff. This is a 4-year-old filly. Also, another angle that you know that I like, which is horses that have gone from their 3-year-old year to their 4-year-old year. I find that those horses usually can show a large improvement. This is a pretty little known trainer. I think you can see this horse used to be trained by Todd Pletcher, who's, you know, obviously one of the top trainers in the country and has been in this Rodolphe Brissett's barn for the last two starts, but for me, this really is about pace, and you know, pace makes the race, as people like to say, and I see that this horse will either be on or near the lead in a race that doesn't have a whole lot of speed in it, from my, you know, in my opinion. My second selection in this race is the 7-horse. The 7-horse is Tiger Moth. I really had considered Tiger Moth as my top selection. Love the trainer, Brad Cox. Corey Lannery's the jock. Tiger Moth is 3-1 in the morning line. But what I didn't like about this horse, Dave, was this 0-for-3 at Churchill Downs with a top buyer of 77 at Churchill Downs. It just seems like maybe this horse doesn't particularly like the track at Churchill Downs. The other thing is that I think that this horse is, you know, if you look at the past performances, this horse is a closer in what I think is going to be a paceless race. So, you know, had there been a little bit more speed in the race to set it up for this horse, I might have made this horse my top selection. Certainly, Brad Cox as a trainer is a, you know, a top trainer, especially at Kentucky, at Churchill Downs. 24% at Churchill Downs, 35% when he uses Corey Lannery at Churchill Downs, and he's 57% using Corey Lannery in dirt routes at Churchill Downs. So there's a lot of trainer stats to like here. Unfortunately for Tiger Moth, I just don't see that this horse is going to get the pace that that she's going to need in order to be the winner of this race. So, but I have made the 7 my second selection. My third and final selection in the race is Blue Prize. Blue Prize is the 2-horse, 7-2 in the morning line. Jimmy Graham, Ignacio Correas is the trainer. There's a few things to like here. Correas is 14% at Churchill Downs. I do like the fact that this horse is lightly raced, so you don't know, there might be some gas in the tank, for this horse, a lot of upside. Certainly looks like an improving horse. If you look at the buyer speed figures, came raced that first race at Churchill Downs, raced an 84 on June 11th, then had a little bit of a bounce, ran a 75 at Saratoga, but then bounced right back at Saratoga with an 88. So there's no telling how good this horse is. As I said, lightly raced horse, produced an 88 buyer speed figure the last time out. And we do get Jimmy Graham, who is a very good jockey on the Churchill Downs Oval. And I think that Blue Prize is the right horse to make our third selection in this race. So in the eighth race, my selections are the 3, the 7, and the 2.
Now, one thing I'll say with the 3, the Mo de Mora, is that how you say it? De Mora?
Mo de Mora, I think. Mo de Mora. Yeah.
Having a sire of Uncle Mo isn't too shabby.
No, Uncle Mo's a great sire. And in fact, that's a really good point, Dave. If you look at the Tomlinson for the distance at this for this race and for this horse, it's a 4.36 Tomlinson. Uncle Mo's Uncle Mo's turned out to be a great sire that's producing horses that that are very productive, especially stakes caliber type horses. So yeah, absolutely, Uncle Mo has turned into a tremendous sire.
All right, so that's the 8th race. You've got the first leg of the pick 4. Let's move on to the 9th race.
Yep, so let's move on to the 9th race, Dave. The 9th race is the only non-graded stakes that we're going to talk about. It's the Open Mind. It's $100,000 purse. It's 6 furlongs. It's also for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. And my selection in this race is going to be the 4 horse, Ivy Bell. Ivy Bell is 8-5 in the morning line. There's a surplus of things I like about this horse. This horse certainly can show early speed. I think based on earlier commentary, and other podcasts, you know how much I like BJ Hernandez as a jockey. Don't know a lot about this William Denzik, though he looks like he's had a pretty productive 2017. He's 21%. If you look at the commentary in Ivy Bell's last race, you can see that this horse stumbled at the start and then had to rally and still won the race. And if you look, it really doesn't look like that's her best race style. It looks like probably what happened is that BJ didn't get a good break and settled the horse and then, you know, used the horse later on in the race. But more often than not, this thing is running on or near the lead, and I'm expecting BJ Hernandez to show speed here. This trainer is 31% using Hernandez at Churchill Downs. It's 36% using BJ Hernandez in dirt sprints at Churchill Downs. So this looks like it's a really good combination jockey trainer, and I think that we're getting a horse that's going to be on or near the lead. The price is not that appetizing. But 8-5 is Ivy Bell's odds, and that's my top selection. My second selection in this race is the 2 horse. The 2 horse is Mela. Mela is 9-5 morning line. So this 9th race looks like it's going to be a little bit chalky. I do like a number of things about Mela. Trained by William Calhoun. Gabriel Saez is the jockey. Calhoun is 38% second off the layoff in non-graded stakes in the past year. Calhoun is also 41% on dirt and 55% in dirt sprints in non-graded stakes in the last year. Those are phenomenal trainer stats. And so I certainly needed to keep this horse, in play in our top 3, and I'm making Mela my second selection. This horse is second off the layoff, which usually, it means that you're going to get an improved effort. Has had 8 races here over the Churchill Oval, has won one of them, finished second twice, finished third twice. So I think this is the right horse to put in as our second selection, just based on Calhoun's trainer stats. Okay. My third and final selection will be Athena. Athena is the 5. Athena is the 5 horse.
Yes.
Athena is the 5 horse. There's some things that I like about Athena. There's some things that I don't like, which is why I didn't make this horse my top selection. Athena, this trainer, Helen Pitts, is 0-18 with Rocco at Churchill Downs. And so that's not attractive to me at all. But if you look in Athena's past performances at Oak Lawn Park in January, twice in January, Rocco has won with this horse. So it seems like Joe Rocco fits pretty well with this horse. This horse does has a pretty impressive record at Churchill Downs, Dave. 12 starts, 4 wins, a second and a third, and a top buyer speed figure of 93. So it seems like this horse likes the track. Rocco seems to fit the horse really well. Helen Pitts doesn't have a lot of great stats here, but I thought this horse was worth putting in as our third selection. So in the 9th race at Churchill Downs, our selections are the 4, the 2, and the 5.
Now, one thing I'll say, if you didn't see that, I'm looking at Brisnet. Helen Pitts is a 27% trainer. I don't know if that makes any difference.
Yeah, it does. It does make a difference. But her record using Rocco at Churchill Downs, that 0-18, didn't do a whole lot for me. So that to me was, was the danger and the reason. Again, I'm not sure this is. In fact, I'm pretty confident this is not the best horse in the race, but certainly the fit with Rocco and what the horse has done at Churchill Downs makes it worth putting in as my third selection. You know, Dave, it's a fine line you got to walk between, what you think the horse can do and then what you think of the trainer. And it's the combination of those two. I know a lot of handicappers who spend a great deal of their handicapping investment in trainer information and ignore the horses. And don't spend a whole lot of time really seeing if the horse can really run fast enough to win the race. And then there's a lot of handicappers who really focus in on the horse and the horse's performance and don't really take into consideration the trainer's capabilities. I like to use both, but I don't like to be shaded one way or the other in making my selections. I try to make it a good combination between what I think the horse can do and how the horse can perform. Is the horse coming into a race where I think we're going to get a peak effort? And then what are the tendencies of the trainer that trains the horse? So all those things, this handicapping thing for me has always been a little art and a little science. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to be able to use both in order to be an effective handicapper. So our selections in the 9th race are the 4, the 2, and the 5.
Great. And then let's move on to the third leg of the late pick 4, and that's the 10th race.
So the 10th race at Churchill Downs is 1/16. It's the Iroquois. It's a grade 3. It's for 2-year-olds, so, young baby horses, many of them stretching out for the first time. My selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 9. The 9 horse is the Tabulator. Larry Rivelli is the trainer, and Jose Valdivia is the jockey. As I'm sure you're aware, Larry Rivelli is the kingpin of horse racing in Chicago and on the Chicago circuit. He did ship a number of horses and took a number of tries out at Saratoga this summer with limited success. He also occasionally will take his better horses and race them in some of these races at Churchill Downs, since it's really not that far from his home base in Chicago. The thing is that there's a number of things that I like here. First of all, this horse is getting Lasix for the first time. This horse was purchased for $460,000. It's got a Tomlinson of 352 at this distance. So, this horse is going from a sprint to a route. Rivelli's 35% when he takes horses and moves them from sprint to route. The downside for me on this horse is that Rivelli doesn't have, great stats, but the pool is a limited pool in terms of the number of horses he's put on the track at Churchill Downs, but he is 1-for-4 at Churchill Downs over the last 5 years. I like the bullet workout on September 12th at Arlington, that 34 bullet workout. That's a great workout for 3 furlongs. We are getting 6-to-1 on Tabulator, so we're getting a little bit of a price, and I got a feeling that that this horse is gonna come up with a big performance, Dave. So the Tabulator, the 9 horse, is my selection in the 10th race. My second selection in the race is the 7 horse. The 7 horse is Flame Away. Flame Away is 4-to-1. We get Mark Cassie, trainer, Julian LeParoux, the jockey. When this jockey trainer combo gets together at Churchill Downs, they're 27%. So LeParoux rides a lot of live horses for Mark Cassie at Churchill Downs. Note in the past performances, this horse has not been on a fast track and a fast dirt track in his 2 lifetime starts. So you can see the race at Woodbine, that's a poly track, was this horse's first lifetime start. And then second lifetime start was in the mud at Saratoga. So be interested to see how this horse runs on the dirt. My suspicion is that he's going to run really well in the dirt. These Scat Daddies are good on the dirt. There's a Tomlinson of 369 for this horse at this distance. So I know that this stretch out is going to be beneficial to this horse. So, you know, we got a good jockey trainer team. This horse was purchased for a lot of money, raced in a stakes race the last time out. He has never been on a dirt track in his short career. So I think this is the right horse to put in as our second selection. So our second selection is Flame Away, who is 4-to-1 in the morning line. Our third and final selection in the 10th race is the 2 horse. The 2 horse is Hollywood Star. Hollywood Star is trained by Dale Romans. Robbie Alvarado's the jockey. One of the things I like about Hollywood Star, Dave, is that the horse has won at Churchill Downs, produced a 69 buyer speed figure in his maiden voyage, very first lifetime race. Also, I think you'll note that 1/8 of a mile and 11.61 at Churchill Downs. You know how attracted I am to horses that can run subpar 12-second 1/8 of a mile. That tells me that they've got a turn of foot that can be used at the right time by the jockey. So I'm a big fan of that as well. I'm raced in a grade 2, the Saratoga Special, last time at Saratoga. So, Roman's thought enough of this horse to put it into a grade 2. This horse is stretching out. 357 Tomlinson for this distance. So I know that this horse will like the stretch out. Purchased for $550,000. Robbie and Romans do pretty well together. They're 16%. Jockey trainer at Churchill Downs. And also I have a note here that Robbie is 17% in graded stakes when he teams up with Romans. And that's 2 out of 12, which doesn't seem like any great shakes, but when I went back and looked, one of those 2 wins was this particular stakes race last year. So they've teamed up to win this stake in the past. They won it last year, and I thought this horse was the logical horse to put in as our third selection. So in the 10th race at Churchill Downs, our selections, Dave, are the 9, the 7, and the 2.
Now, one thing I'll say about the Hollywood Star, the 2 horse, it's first time it's running this route distance. Do you think that's going to be any concern that horse will be there or not?
Yeah, it is. It's always a concern. It would be more of a concern to me if the rest of the field had raced at this distance. But as you can see, as you go through these past performances, right, Dave, every one of these horses is stretching out.
Right.
So then what I try to do is when they're all in a stretch out, I look for horses that are sired by sires who got better as the distance stretched out. And then I also try to make sure that I do put some focus on trainers and trainer capabilities and taking horses that have been sprinting, even if, you know, in a limited number of career starts, and then stretch them out. So, so less of a concern, but certainly a good point. Had this race been filled with horses that, you know, had been around two turns and had raced the distance before, I'm more reluctant to play these stretch out kinds of horses in those scenarios. But, but I do like that quick turn of foot on this horse. So, I like that 11.618 of a mile. So I do know that if Robbie just sits there with this horse, that he's capable of running a really quick eighth of a mile. So, so it was, you know, for me, it was logical to at least put this horse in my three selections.
Great. So, we wrap it up with the final leg of the pick four, the 11th race.
Right. So in the 11th race, Dave, this is a mile and a 16th. This is the Pocahontas. This is a grade two. This is for 2-year-old fillies. So the 10th race was for the boys. The 11th race is for the girls. The purse is $200,000. And my top selection in this race is the 10 horse. And the 10 horse is Upset Brewing. There's a number of things that I like here about Upset Brewing. Upset Brewing's trained by William Bradley. Corey Lannery's the jockey. One of the trainer stats that stuck out to me is that William Bradley is 3 for 6, 50% in graded stakes routes at Churchill Downs. So certainly knows how to get a horse ready to race a long distance in a stakes race. And especially in graded stakes, pretty impressive. 3 out of 6. I was impressed with that. Upset Brewing is 5 to 1 in the morning line. Take a look and note that this horse at Ellis Park last time out broke out of the 11 post. So there were 11 horses in the race. He had the far outside post. He was the morning line favorite. So we're getting him as a beaten favorite last time out. You know, looks like that was, you know, a tough post to break out of. Got the lead, came up a little bit short. I have a tendency to like to come back on those horses because it usually is just a lack of conditioning that they usually get from that kind of race that usually spurs them on the next time out and they wind up winning. That combined with the far outside post that this horse had, added to the fact that this horse is also 5 to 1 in the morning line, I thought this was a good horse to play and make as my top selection in this 11th race. And as I said, Dave, we get 5 to 1 in the morning line on this horse. Okay. My second selection is the 3 horse. And the 3 horse is Snowfire. Snowfire is 6 to 1 in the morning line. Mark Cassie, Julian Le Peru again. I'll kind of walked all the way through the stats on those two when they get together at Churchill Downs. Number of things to like about this horse. Horse broke his maiden at Churchill. She broke her maiden at Churchill Downs. This horse was a beaten favorite the last time out. Looked like the horse was ran into some traffic trouble at the half, based on the notes here in the past performances. That was the Schuylerville at Saratoga. That was this horse's second lifetime start. That was a grade 3, so has been in a stakes race where she's been favored before. This horse has a 401 Tomlinson doesn't have a 401. It has a 380 Tomlinson at this distance. So I know this horse, sired by Tappet, is capable of a stretch out. They bought this horse for $500,000. And I've already mentioned the trainer jockey combination of Mark Cassie and Le Peru. So, we get 6 to 1 Snowfire, the 3 horse is our second selection. Our third selection is the 2 horse, which is First Mate. First Mate is 20 to 1 in the morning line, Dave. So I'm going to give us a price play to include in our pick 4. There's some interesting things to like about this horse for me. First of all, I like the Tomlinson. The Tomlinson that I was kept saying 401 for Snowfire. Actually, those are the 401 Tomlinson was for first mate, which tells me that this horse is really going to like the edit distance. Clearly raced with cheap company at Canterbury Downs. But as I follow horse racing, Dave, these horses that ship from Canterbury, it's just another one of those quirky tracks where horses that ship from that track usually do really well wherever they go. I think you know from being around me for all these years that I also like horses that come from Tampa, yep. Tampa Bay Downs. I love Tampa shippers. Canterbury is a very similar place. Take a look at that eighth of a mile, Dave, 11.96. So I know this horse has a burst of speed. Look what happened to this horse. This horse had a rough break, was 20 lengths behind, and won by 9 lengths with one of my favorite jockeys, Quincy Hamilton, as the favorite in a cheap stakes race at Canterbury Downs, but trained by Joe Sharp. So I know this is a, this guy knows what he's doing. Joe Sharp's a top trainer. And I thought this horse with Kendrick Caramouche, who, is a very under the radar jockey who, because we follow Saratoga, we're familiar with his success and the fact that he can ride a winner. And I thought we should include a nice price play for the listeners as our third selection in the 11th race here at Churchill Downs. So our selections here are in the 11th race are going to be the 10, the 3, and the 2. So that would be the last race that we're going to walk through. I do want to just make a quick comment, Dave.
Sure.
What winds up happening here is that because I'm focused on Saturday stakes races, I download the racing form usually on Wednesdays and I start working the form. The problem sometimes on Wednesdays with the form is that they don't have the post positions listed yet or even the morning line odds. So usually on Thursdays, then I have to kind of transpose everything that I've done on Wednesday once the PPs come out with the post positions and the odds. And so that's why sometimes it sounds like I'm scrambling a little bit because I'm trying to match up a lot of additional information that becomes available on Thursdays. But I like to get my work done on these cards on Wednesdays. So hopefully it was clear to everyone what our selections are. I'm excited about this podcast, Dave, and hopefully we'll continue to have a great deal of success and provide the people that are listening both some information on how a handicapper looks at a particular race and how selections are made. And then, the bottom line is, I want to be able to give people some winners and help them make some money.
Absolutely. So with that, I just want to let everybody know, we're going to put all these picks and information in the show notes. We are still working on getting our social media in place, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes so you can provide us any feedback of what you'd like to hear. You may have some interesting tracks or something else you'd like to hear. Steve can handicap. You can provide that feedback. The links will be in those show notes. So as Steve said, I'll definitely second that. This is going to be a real exciting podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun with this, and hopefully you'll have a lot of winners for sure. We can bring this pick four home, could make some good money here. So with that, I think we'll wrap this thing up. I'd like to thank you for listening to the Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Pick podcast. I'm Dave Ginsberg, and along with Steve DeCorn. And Steve, any more closing comments before we wrap it up?
No, just thanks a lot, Dave. This has been a lot of fun, and been wanting to do this for a long time. And glad that we decided to take a step and get out in the public domain with the information that I can provide in stakes races.
Let's hope you have a lot of winners this weekend, and we'll see you next time. Good racing.